Hi, my name is Donnie. For anyone that, Donnie, Afrikaans is Donnie. I prefer the English version. I've got three names and a surname. But I prefer the English version, Daniel William Anthony. In Afrikaans is Daniel Willem Antoni. That is so, okay. All right. So, I want to just bring something that God has been laying in my heart for us, just as a congregation. And I think, because for all of us, we get to a place where we, because of our circumstances and the things that we've gone through in the past and the things that we're going through now, we've got certain goals that we want to reach, whatever that looks like for each and every single one of us. But in order for us to reach our goals, there's things that we want to do, right? And I just felt like, and it's something that God's been challenging me on, is that we've got to shift from doing to being. Because doing sometimes comes from the flesh. And if we do things in our power and in our might, it's like a flimsy balloon. It just pops and it's just goes nowhere. And so the first part of the title is becoming, not just doing. So, and then I'm going to get into the main part of the title just a little bit later, but I won't reveal it now. But if I had to go around and ask any one of you, what is your goals? What is your current goals? What is your long-term goals? What is your short-term goals? And then all of you are going to have goals because you're in a certain situations that maybe you want to get out of, or these things that you want to reach. And I think God's going to ask you the question, what type of person is going to reach that goals? And is it goals that he laid on your heart? Or where does it come from? Because if I go right back to my childhood, I mean, I grew up very poor. For the first 9 years of my life, I grew up in circumstances where there was drug abuse, alcohol abuse, and you know all the things that goes on with that. So you're in protection mode and you're in fighting mode. And then at the age of 9, my parents got divorced. And then we moved out of those circumstances to a little bit better place. But then I had to hear for the rest of my time that I was in the house, my stepfather said, the constant thing that he said to me is, you will never be able to achieve. You will never, that's what I heard. I'm not saying he was a bad stepfather, he provided. But I grew up with that, and I did everything in my power to not be in the house. And so I did a lot of other things, and I had to fight that. And that shaped my goals, right? It shaped the things that and this is what I said to myself. I clearly remember, I said, I will do everything in my power not to live in those circumstances that I lived as a child. And I will do everything in my power to show them that I can achieve, I will achieve. And guess what happened? Money became my God. Because it's the only way. I was going to work hard, I was going to do this, and it was... And I got married at the age of 23, and my oldest daughter, she was born when I was 26. And because money was my God, it almost destroyed my marriage. Like, God just came in at the right time. Somebody invited me to church, and I got saved. I had this encounter with Jesus, and I remember I sat there, and for the first time in my life, I experienced Jesus. Some of you know my story. And I was so excited because I encountered this Jesus that I only heard about. And then suddenly my life changed. And I wanted to do all these things for Jesus. I was like, okay, Jesus, what now? Like, you know, there was this passion. I was on fire. It was like the honeymoon stage. But because of my past, I got saved at the age of 27. Because of my past, there was a lot of things that needed to be undone. A lot of those goals that was self-driven, God wanted to change that from the things that I was doing to who am I becoming in the process. And I feel for many of us here this evening, God is asking you the same thing. Whatever you're going through, who are you becoming in the process? What are you doing? And then I realized God is more interested in my character than he is in my CV, what I can do for him. He was more interested in who I'm becoming in the process than what I can do for him, what I can achieve for him. God does not reward achievements. What does he reward? Faithfulness, right? And obedience. And so some of you that know your Bible a little bit will know there was a wealthy guy named Solomon. He had wealth, he had riches, he had wisdom, he had power. But as he aged, his heart drifted from God. There was a king called Saul. He had the throne, but he lacked a heart after God. Who remembers Saul, King Saul? Right? You know what happened to him? And it led to his downfall. What about the Pharisees? They were religious. I mean, they did all the right things, right? They fasted twice a day. They tithed religiously, even from the stuff from the backyard. And what did Jesus call them? Whitewashed tombs. And so they did all these things, but they didn't become who God wanted them to become in the process, right? He doesn't just want you to focus on the external. He wants you to focus on the internal. And I think God wants to do a bit of heart surgery with us today. He wants to look at where's our hearts, who are we becoming in the process. And so I feel that he's saying we've got to shift from doing goals to being goals. And if I've got to go around again, as I said, what are some of your goals? And there might be plenty of goals. Maybe you got saved. And who've had a goal before that said, like, that you thought, like, I want to reach the Bible in a year? Who've had that goal before? There's some of us that done it, right? But there was like, I want to read the Bible in a year. And then you start. And you go on this journey. But the goal is you're so fixed on reading the Bible in a year that nothing's changing. Because the goal is not, who am I becoming? The goal is like, I need to do this. And I feel that God wants to become someone who treasures God, his word, and who lives by it, and do what it says, right? So if you can put up James 1, verses 22 for me, please. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says, right? Anyone who listens to the word but does not do it, what it says, is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away immediately, forget what he looks like. Imagine that. You go into the mirror, you see what you look like, you turn around and you forget what you look like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Doing the word. And I think that's where we've got to focus on. It's not about getting through things in a certain time, but actually doing what the word of God calls us to do. And so, it says like, it's like a man who looks into the mirror and forget what he looks like when he turns around. It's like coming to church, sit under the word of God, gets fed, and then leave, and then nothing changes. There's no outworking. It's like going to common a Wednesday and leaving and nothing changes. It's like getting fed, but not exercising a muscle. What happens if you keep on feeding yourself but you don't exercise? You're going to get fris until you can't move. And then what happens? You only want to get fed. But God wants us to exercise our muscles. And so there's doing that takes place, but it's who we are, or we're becoming in the process when we are doing it, right? And so, what other goals are there? Who's all married here? If you can put your hands up, who's all married here? All right, so we're family church, so there's a lot of married folk here. Who wants a great marriage? Okay. And so if you want a great marriage, Marie, if you want a great marriage, you're going to set things in place that you're going to do, right? But instead of just saying, I want a great marriage, we've got to commit to becoming a spouse who loves God first. And then who loves our spouse, who serves our spouse, and who grows with our spouse in our relationship with the Father. And that's something that is not going to come by itself. That's what says doing of the word. Who is all parents here? So a lot of those married folk will be parents as well. Okay, who wants well-behaved kids? Oh. All of us, we want to have well-behaved kids. Instead of saying, I want well-behaved kids, become a father that loves Jesus so much that they see the passion in you and that they follow you in what you do and not what you say. Because I was the thing, do what I say, not what I do, right? No, it's not that. Become the father that points them to Jesus. Romans 12, verses 2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will, his good and pleasing and perfect will. We've got to transform our minds because like we get so stuck in doing things. God wants us to transform our mind in doing what the word tells us to do will help us to change. Will help us to change. God. Hey, my wife. Just, can't you like just work with in her heart and make her like just a better wife? Or for the ladies, God and my husband, can't you just like, God, do something in him. Like, just let him change. No, God wants me. He wants us to change. We need to be the first one. He wants to do a work in us. We're going to stand before God and give an account. God, my children, can't you just make them well behaved? No, he wants us to become the parent that leads them and guides them, set boundaries and protect them as best as we can, right? God is saying, I'm after you. I want to change you. I want to transform you. I want to transform you into the image, more and more into the image of my son, Jesus Christ. And to the husbands, he's saying, I want you to become godly husbands. To the wives here, I want you to become godly wives. To the parents here, godly parents, children, youth, young folk, strive to be more and more like Jesus. I know it's difficult, but it's actually not that difficult. And you'll see as we unpack this going further, who wants to be a bit more wealthier than they are at the moment? Who wants a bit more money because things are tight and hey, we like this, the months are getting long and we want to like just we, Lord, we just need more. We heard Peter speaking about the account. But instead of saying, God, I want to be more wealthier. God is not against us having stuff. But he doesn't want us to have stuff to have us. Instead, he wants us to become people that honors him first with what he's given us. What he's entrusted to us. Because if he can trust us with little, he can trust us with more. So he wants us to become and he wants us to put him first in our finances. Because I made that mistake. I said, God, why are these things happening in my finances? It's because I never allowed him to be part of his finances that he entrusted me with. And only when I put him first, things changed in my life. I got to know him better. He gave me wisdom. And that part where I excluded him and that I wanted to cut off, because every time I heard something about tithing and giving, I cut off because, it gets uncomfortable. But when I started putting God first, things broke open. And so he wants us to become people who puts him first, who stewards our finances well, who honors him with our wealth, with what we have. And again, as I said, he's not against us having things. But he's more interested in changing who we are in the process. Amen? There's a lot of examples that I've put here on the goals that we might have. How many of you are not married and want to get married at a stage somewhere? There's a couple of hands going up. God, I want to find the perfect spouse. I'm going to do these things to get the perfect spouse. Here's a challenge for you. Become the spouse that you want to be. In Ephesians, the scripture actually says that. I won't go there. Not yet for you guys now. But become the person that you want to attract. Become a loving, love God. Care. Become the spouse that you want to be. That's actually what I want to get to. And in that process, become the person that God wants you to be. I'm going to skip a couple on these. Who wants to be like? I know there's extroverts and there's introverts, but who wants to be used by God like in a powerful way? God, I want you to use me. God, I want to do things for you. I really want you to use me. Become someone who's faithful in the small things, available for God, willing to serve wherever he calls you to serve, in whatever way he calls you to serve. There's many places to serve. But I've seen people that want to do all these things for God. They want to go plant churches. They want to do this. They want to do that. But I don't see the fruit in the small things with what God has entrusted them. And serving where there's a need. And for those that are leaders, all of us are leaders in some way, right? Who are we discipling? Do we care for people? Do we prioritize obedience over recognition? Over this last, this last year and a half, I've been like, Lord, I've been serving you for almost 18 years. Well, when I started, like 17 years. And also, there's so much that I want to do for you. Because when I got saved, I went on mission trips and I saw miracles and people's lives changed just by sharing a testimony. I'm like, Lord, I want to do so much more for you, but I feel so restricted. I run two businesses. I've got this wonderful family, and I'm involved in the life of the church. I'm a leader in the church, but I want to do so much more for you. And then what God challenged me with, and I think, and I've actually read this before, and God might challenge some of you by this as well. God was saying to me, by your standards, Jesus lacked, because he didn't travel far. He had a couple of disciples that followed him. There was people that followed him for his miracles, but when he went to the cross, he didn't have many followers. He didn't reach millions of people and travel all over the world. And he says, I want you to be faithful where you are, where he's placed you. Because he was interested in who you are becoming in the process. Because I remember when I got saved and I like was all this like on this hype, and my daughter was still, she was just like a year and a half, 2 years old. And I was doing all these things. I was traveling for business. I was like, I wanted to do all these things in the life of the church. And I got into this treadmill of performance. And guess who got the short end of it? My family. My wife and my daughter. I've got 3 daughters now. And I'll never forget. There were some times when I got home, just came home, and I need to leave again. Then I want to apologize for you in front of everybody. She's like, oh, you're going to another church meeting? My family got the short end because I wanted to perform for God. But I wasn't changing in the process. God wants us to change. It's not about what we can do for him. It's who he wants us to become in the process. So my goals have changed now. Lord, firstly, my testament, I want my testament, but I'm not here anymore. Lord, I want my testament to be this very thing. And this is actually the topic of this sermon. I felt God challenge me to change my question. Not, Lord, what can I do for you? I want to do, well, what is it I can do for you? I felt God challenge me on this. Lord, this is the question. How can I please you? How can I please you? So that's the first thing. That's what I want my testament to be, Lord. I want to be known as someone who pleased the Lord, not who pleased men and leaders and people around me. The second one, that my wife was happy. My third one is that my children follow God, that they know God. And lastly, not that I was successful, because success comes from our own doings, but that I was faithful. Listen to this, one of my favorite verses, Colossians 1 verses 10. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every work, good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Please him, fruitfulness. God is calling us to please him and to be fruitful. So I want to give you a new goal. I want you, for those that are not taking notes, take out your phone. I want to give you a new goal. Write this down, type this down, engrave it in your memory. The goal is this, for all of us, that I feel God is challenging. He wants us to become someone that pleases him. He wants us to become a person that pleases him. Matthew 3, verses 17. What was said to Jesus when he was baptized? Listen to this. And a voice from heaven said, this is my son whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. Not this is my son who does crazy miracles. Not this is my beloved son who reads his Bible diligently every day, who tithes diligently, who goes to church every Sunday and comes every Wednesday, and who does all these miracles. No, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. This was before he started his ministry. 30 years, don't hear anything about Jesus. Only I think at the age of 12, he had like a thing with Joseph, and then he submitted to Joseph and Mary. But 30 years, silence. What did he do in those time? I'll tell you what he did. He pleased the Lord. He pleased the Lord. Jesus hasn't done anything yet. He hasn't raised anybody from the dead. 30 years. And yeah, I want to encourage some of you here. As I said earlier, there's extroverts, there's introverts. But I want to encourage you with sometimes in your silence, you can please the Lord. It doesn't have to be this upfront ministry and leader, this and that. In your silence, Lord, am I pleasing to you? Am I doing what your word says? Am I faithful in the small things? Not lying, honest, truthful, loving, caring to those around me? Am I generous? Am I serving where I can in my capacity? So we all need to ask ourselves, is what we are doing, is it pleasing to the Lord? Because if it pleases God, it should please us. If it pleases God, I'm ready for what's next. And what's next for Jesus now? Let's go and do miracles. Let's go raise Lazarus from the dead. Let's go walk on water. Let's go do all these miracles. Let's go to the cross. Let's be ridiculed, mocked, betrayed. Go to the cross. Lord, if it pleases you. Sometimes we've got to do the hard things as long as it pleases him. There was a stage after I got saved and the passion, like all of these things, and then you go through ups and downs. There was a stage that I was actually like, I think God is okay with me. And I feel there's some of us that's sitting, and we feel God is okay with us. It's not okay just to be okay. God didn't say, this is my beloved son who I am okay with. He said, this is my beloved son who I'm pleased with. And I remember, as I was thinking about, because there's stages in our lives. If you're not saved, the first stage is, I'm not pleasing to God. Then there's the second stage, which is, God is okay with me after I got saved. And then there's another stage that you're pleasing to God. But listen to this. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 9. So we make it our goal. Another translation said, we make it our aim. So there's something we've got to aim for, right? To please him, whether we are at home, in the body, or away from it. Is it just that verse? Okay, I'm going to... My translation says, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing. So we can be pleasing, but then there's another stage, we can be well-pleasing to God. And we can do that by allowing him to transform us and to be aware of his presence. And how do we please God? Through faith, right? Listen to this. Hebrews 11, verses 6. It says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. This actually comes from just the verse before that. It speaks about Enoch. So I just want to go back to Genesis 5, verses 24. It says, Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. Enoch walked with God. He was a man known that walked with God. Hebrews 11, verses 5, listen to this. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. He walked with God and he pleased God. If you want to please God, you walk with him. And how does walking look like? How does walking with God look like? It's not a coffee date every morning with God for 30 or 40 minutes. God, I've got your time slot. We're going to worship in this time. We're going to read our Bible. I'm going to spend my time with you. And then I'm going to go on with my day. No. It's constantly being aware that God is in your presence. That we are actually in the presence of God. He's with us all the time. And when you live in that state that Jesus is with you all the time, you are aware of his presence. You can speak to him wherever you go. Jesus, help me in this process. Jesus, oh look, when I look at this, I see you, Jesus. When you're driving in your vehicle, when you're walking, you can talk to God. He's with you. You are in his presence. You can speak to him. That's walking with God. People cut you off. That will change your mindset, right? Ooh, I'm in the presence of the Lord. Instead of cursing them, I'm going to pray for them. Or we get angry or whatever. It changes your mind. We can walk with God because it pleases him. It's a constant reminder that he's with us. And as we're coming to closer to the end here, I just want to say this, that you, if you're on a state where you're constantly aware that you're walking with God and that you want to please him, he can do things far beyond what you ever thought he can do in your life. If I look where I am today and where I was and what I could have lost, my life, my family, and what he's done today with me, some of you know, I've shared this before, one of my biggest fears, public speaking. I'm sharing the word of God with you. But we've got to walk with God. The impact of what God will use you to do things that will outlive you. So God will use you to do things that will outlive you. I remember Andrew Sally shared a testimony. Maybe you can just come up so long. Andrew sharing a testimony of going to a funeral. And he said he heard one of the people that came up and shared it. They said, when I was with this man, I can't remember his name. He said, it was like being with Jesus. Can you imagine that testimony? When people say, when I was this person, it was like being with Jesus. That must have been pleasing to God. But that's the reality. You can do things in our marriages that no one else, you can't do out of your own. In your parenting, in your relationships, in your friendships. He'll do things that will outlive you when you walk with him and you please him. And then for some of us, this is just something that I wanted to touch on, that are struggling with sin. Which is happening, right? It's all around us. We're exposed to online phones. And so we're all kinds of things we're exposed to, which cause us to stumble and to fall and to sin. But listen to this. Ecclesiastes 7:26. I find more bitter than death the woman who is a snare, whose heart is a trap, and whose hands are chains. Listen to this. the man or the woman who pleases God will escape her. If you please God, you will escape. But the sinner will, she will ensnare. If you want to escape that very thing that you're struggling with, walk with God. Please Him, do what the Word says. If you walk with Him and you're aware of His presence with you, it will be much easier not to fall into those temptations and those sins. Proverbs 16, verses 7. Listen to this. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, He makes even his enemies live at peace with Him. Who has enemies? Who's got enemies? God will take care of them. If you please Him, He will shut those down who wants to break you down, who wants the worst for you. Walk with Him. Please Him. That's amazing. When I read this again, I was like, oh God, only You can do this. There's something about pleasing God, about pleasing Him that makes Him open up to us. And instead of going for His pockets and wanting things, He says, no, live a life that is pleasing, because He wants to change you. He wants to change who you are, because He's got much bigger things for you. And in Matthew 6, verses 33, it says this, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. We all know this verse. Seek first His kingdom. And then the last scripture, Deuteronomy 12, 28. Be careful to obey all these regulations I'm giving you, so that it may always go well with you and your children after you, because you will be doing what is good and right in the eyes of the Lord, what is good and pleasing. Do all these things that I give you, so it may go well with you and those after you. Who wants you to go well with them and your children and those after you? I see some hands. Because when you please Him, He says you'll do well. And those after you. And so here's my challenge for you. Would you be the person, when we leave here, say, Lord, I want to please You. Actually, before we leave here, I want you to take action. Say, if you want to. But when you respond, you need to understand the seriousness of responding. Because you're committing, say, God, I'm going to act on Your word. I'm going to do what Your word says. I want to walk with You. I want to please You. So why don't we just close our eyes? Yeah, Lord. With our eyes closed, maybe you're sitting here and your life is in a mess. You're just like Lord, I don't know where to go. I'm not pleasing You. Everything's upside down. And I feel God is calling you to respond, because He wants to change your life. He wants to change who you are and who you're going to become. And so I'm going to call out a couple of things, and about three or four, five things. When I'm done, if you resonate with any of these things, I want you to come to the front, because we'd love to pray with you. So the first one is, if your life is in the mess, you don't have a relationship with Jesus, and you want to respond and say, Jesus, I want to live what I've heard tonight. I want to live a life that's pleasing to You, and I want to give my life to You. Secondly, maybe you've been more focused on doing things for God rather than becoming the person He's calling you to be. And God wants you to shift from doing to being. Thirdly, maybe you feel burnt out, anxious, or caught up in a cycle of performance. Jesus says, come to me, those who are heavy burdened. Maybe you're distant in your walk with God, and you want to walk closely with Him, and you want to be in fellowship with Him. And maybe you've been diligent, you've fasted, you've tithed, you've prayed, you're walking with God, but you feel spiritually dry and unchanged. Any of those things, if you resonate with any of those, I want you to stand and come to the front. I know there's some of you. You can stand up, be brave. God's calling you to He's calling you. Bianca brought that word earlier. She said, we must come with our buckets because God wants to fill your buckets with oil. And if you want to be filled, this is the moment. This is the moment to do that. The calling was before we, in the time of worship. And then for the rest of us, if there are any of you and say, Lord, I actually want to live a life that's pleasing to you, I want you to stand right now. If you want to commit, say, Lord, I want to live a life that's pleasing to you, I want you to stand. I'm standing. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray for each and every single person that is standing. Father, I've just got the sense that God is saying to you, He's pleased with you. He's pleased that you've taken the step and you're standing. And Father, I pray for each and every single one here that we will commit to walking a road with you, that we will obey your word, that we will do what your word says. And you know the areas that we are struggling with. Everyone that's standing here, you know the areas. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, by your Spirit, come and touch them right now. By your power, by your Spirit, by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. And then I want some of the leaders just come up to come and pray for some of the people that's in front of you. You can ask them what to pray for and just pray for them. Some of the leaders come to the front. Just come and pray. Maybe you can just spread out a little bit. I just feel God wants to minister to some of us here. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Jesus, you come right now. Come and touch each and every single one that's responded. Come and meet them exactly where they're at, Lord. Come and help them. Come and guide them. Come and lead them. Holy Spirit, by your power, by your powerless Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.